The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spies.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-hold-bars trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, John Spies.
I'm your co-host, Adam Spies.
And today we are continuing our round of 16 in our 2024 patron tournament. In one corner, he's more fun than a bun in the sun, and he's second to none. It's Jeremy Goodson. Jeremy, how you doing? And I almost said, how you doing and what are you drinking? Wrong show. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. On the tail end of some kind of nasty flu, so if I'm a little nasally or whatever today, sorry. For anybody listening out there, if that hurts your ears or something. But I'm drinking some coffee because it's 10 a.m. and we lost an hour, so yeah. That's just how it's going to be.
In the other corner, you can tell he's swell and he sings like Adele. It's Adam Wendell. Adam, welcome back to the show. Remind the folks at home a little bit about you.
I'm Adam Wendell. I definitely do not sing like Adele. You do not want me to sing anything ever. And I always sound nasally, so, you know, there's nothing we can do about that.
All right, folks, let's learn how to play the game.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories, focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, before we get started, I of course want to know Jeremy and Adam just a little bit better. And since I kind of mentioned Adele, and my daughter has been getting into listening to more kind of, you know, modern day pop singers, I want to know, who's your favorite modern day pop singer?
Well, I'm not really a modern day pop person. I will still go with Lady Gaga.
All right.
I've seen her in concert. Very good.
Man, that's a tough one. I don't listen to a lot of pop music. Actually, I don't listen to a lot of new music at all anymore.
Me neither.
But
it's almost like I picked that on purpose.
But Lady Gaga is definitely a good one. Another one that's kind of a guilty pleasure of mine when it's on, I really enjoy it, is Ed Sheeran. So I'm going to say Ed Sheeran.
Okay. I've been kind of forced to listen to a lot. My daughter got into Katy Perry for a while. I actually took her to see her at her residence here in Vegas. Actually, was a great show. It was very entertaining.
That's my boo right there. That's my girl. OG Katy Perry is like, she's top tier.
And now she's been into Pink. So I already bought tickets. We're going to go see Pink in the fall, which those tickets were not cheap. Mm. So she owes me for sure. Of the two, I don't listen to either of them regularly. But if I was going to pick one, I'd probably pick Lady Gaga.
Okay.
So Adam's going to get to pick first in round one. Sir, what category are we starting off in?
We'll start with TV.
Okay. A little TV from the 90s.
What educational children's TV series, co-created by Iman Harrington and John Watkin for HBO Family, ran from 1999 to 2000 and was HBO's second series after Brain Games to focus on educational skits?
This is a bit of a gap for me because this was when I was an adult, but my kids weren't born yet. So, HBO. I don't know this. I know this was HBO, but this is probably a little later. I'll go with Jack's Big Music Show.
Jack's Big Music Show is incorrect. Jeremy, can you steal?
So when I was growing up, we didn't actually have HBO. I didn't get that till I was older. So this is a lot harder than it seems. I remember seeing an advertisement that they had and this is way wrong because it doesn't really match what you were saying. The only show I can think of around then, because this is before they actually bought Sesame Street. If I remember, they own Sesame Street and all that now. They did I remember they had a Harold and the Purple Crayon TV show. It seems to be around that era, because I remember seeing the commercials. I don't think it's right because it doesn't really fit the other clues, but that's what I'm going to go with, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Harold and the Purple Crayon is also incorrect. Yeah, tough one to start off with. My kids randomly discovered this one. Also, we did not grow up with HBO until I was an adult, and this show is called Crashbox.
Oh, I never even heard of that. That's really...
No.
Yeah. There's that definite gap in children's programming between like mid-90s and mid-2000s when I was too old to watch it, but not old enough to watch it with my kids yet.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't that era where like that was the end of high school for me, or like mid to end of high school, so I wasn't watching it because it wasn't a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And my sister had just gotten out of the Barney and all that phase, so it was like... Yeah. Yep, nothing.
All right, well, nothing to start off with, but that's fine. We'll move over to Jeremy. What category would you like?
Let's go movies. Why not?
Okay. Right. And your movies question is from the 50s.
All right, and we have a question from Paul McLaughlin. Steve McQueen starred in this 1958 film in which an alien life form consumes everything in its path as it grows larger and larger. It spawned a 1978 sequel and a 1988 remake.
If I get this wrong, my wife will divorce me. This is her absolute favorite movie of all time. No joke. This is The Blob.
I was
the Steve McQueen version.
I seriously thought you were about to say this is her nickname for you.
I'll have an awful.
So I got something in my eye.
Ouch. The Blob is correct. All right.
Movie. Well, at the time would have been considered high budget, but it is by today's standards probably the best B movie ever made.
All right, back over to Adam.
News and politics.
Okay. And we're staying in the 50s.
In 1959, Fidel Castro overthrew the regime of what Cuban dictator, establishing a communist government in the country?
I actually think I know this. I think it's Batista.
Fulgencio Batista is correct.
Well, glad I didn't need the first name.
You wanted the championship belt. Wait. Wrong Batista. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, I knew it was something like that. I wasn't quite sure if it was Batista, or Baptista.
It wasn't close enough.
That's actually how I remember that, though. I just like, it's Dave Batista. All right, we're good. Uh-huh. Even though it's not Dave, I actually forget the first name, but it's Batista.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeremy, you're up.
Let's do sports and games, or sports and games, toys and games.
Toys
let's
and
not
games.
Do sports okay. and games.
All right, toys and games it is, and you get the 80s.
Named because designer Hironobu Sakaguchi planned to retire after its completion, what 1987 game that brought the publishing company Square back from the brink simultaneously established the NES system as a must-have system for role-playing fans?
I believe that was going to be his Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy is correct. All right.
I'll go with sports.
Sports. All right. And we're going to stay in the 80s.
In the 1986 FIFA World Cup quarterfinals, what Argentine superstar punched the ball into the net during a match against England? The goal was controversial, as it should have been disallowed for handball, but the referee did not see the infraction.
So-called hand of God goal, Diego Maradona.
Diego Maradona is correct. All right, and back to Jeremy. We've got music, fashion, literature, slang, and food.
Let's do music.
It's going to be the 2000s.
I guess Diana Agron, Tiara Banks, or Brooke Shields could have sung this 2005 song because they, too, have melanated irises.
Could you repeat that?
Sure. I guess Diana Agron, Tiara Banks, or Brooke Shields could have sung this 2005 song because they, too, have melanated irises.
Melanated irises. Okay. I'm overthinking this. Something with eyes. Let's see. What song was around that time with eyes? Like I said, I'm overthinking this. Unless it's something specifically with the Iris, but what was that Kelly Clarkson song name? I know this is making great audio, and I'm trying not to like sound all stuffy and nasal. It was shoot. Was it behind these? Was it Hazel Eyes? Behind These Hazel Eyes? That would be my guess.
Behind These Hazel Eyes is correct.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's the only eye song I could think of. I'm like, does anything else have eyes in it? Or am I overthinking the Irish clue?
Melanated Irises made me think of Brown Eyed Girl. And I was like, did someone cover that in 2005?
Yeah. Right. Well, then I threw that right out of my head because I was going to overthink that. I'm like, that is, we're talking about the 60s there. So.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Back to Adam.
Let's go food.
All right. Food from the 70s.
Jello.
In a mold with like meat and bologna in it or something. Weird stuff.
Blech.
We've not yet had to say goodbye to what casual dining restaurant that opened in 1972. In 2020, over 186 locations were closed due to the pandemic. Only 209 remain. But who could hang a name on you?
Yeah, thank you for putting the music question and the food question. This would be goodbye, Ruby Tuesdays.
Ruby Tuesday is correct. All right, and back to Jeremy.
All right, I think it's time for literature.
Yeah, literature coming at you from the 90s.
What time-traveling historical fantasy novel by Diana Gabaldon was released in 1991?
Diana Gabaldon, I know the name. Say it one more time.
What time-traveling historical fantasy novel by Diana Gabaldon was released in 1991?
Okay, historical fantasy. I believe that one is Outlander.
Outlander is correct. I believe everybody's wife is probably watching that show.
I know yours is.
I know mine was. all right. Adam, we got fashion and slang left.
Yeah, we'll go slang.
Okay.
Shocker.
And it's our first 60s question.
Peggers in the 60s wasn't something you did on International Women's Day. It was a term for a piece of clothing that today we'd call what?
All I can think of is the montage at the beginning of Deadpool with the International Women's Day. I'm hoping they are shoes.
Shoes is incorrect. Jeremy, can you steal?
Read it one more time, but maybe not. I don't know.
Peggers in the 60s wasn't something you did on International Women's Day. It was a term for a piece of clothing that today we'd call what?
Peggers. I'm stuck in the Deadpool thing, too. I can try not to because this is a family-friendly podcast. So many places I want to go. Let's go suspenders because they've got straps.
Suspenders. It's incorrect. Yeah, this was tough because I didn't give you too many other context clues. Today we'd call them skinny jeans.
Oh. No way I was getting that.
All right. And it leaves fashion for Jeremy, right?
Yes, it does. And the decade is the 90s.
What brand marketed itself as clothing without prejudice and gained immense popularity throughout the 90s, especially after making an appearance on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Clothing without prejudice. Shows you I don't know what this is at all. Like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Read it one more time.
What brand marketed itself as clothing without prejudice and gained immense popularity throughout the 90s, especially after making an appearance on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I know I've heard this before. And I am not placing it on a brand, so I'm going to go to the one thing that, well, it definitely made you think things in the 90s, and go with Jenko.
Jenko is incorrect. Adam, can you steal?
Maybe. I have a guess, but I don't. Hopefully that it was without prejudice because it was for us by us, and I'll go with FUBU.
FUBU is also incorrect. Ah. Adam, you got a guess on this one?
I've got two things in my head. It's either Coogie sweaters, because I remember Uncle Phil wearing like a big one of those, or Carlton might have worn United Colors of Benetton, and I think maybe the United Colors is the thing, so I'm gonna go with that, United Colors of Benetton.
Both of those are incorrect.
Oh, crap. I thought it was one of them, for sure.
So they did a lot of the very kind of colorful stuff that mostly I think Will Smith was wearing on the stuff. They use a lot of red, black, and green. They're called Cross Colors. It's an brand.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh.
Nice. All right. Well, that is the end of round one. Adam, what is our score?
Yeah, we have got a very close one right now. Jeremy is currently in the lead with 40, but Adam is not far behind with 30.
All right. Well, Adam got to pick first in round one. So, Jeremy, you're going to pick for Adam to start off round two. What category would you like to give him?
Oh, please have the fashion question.
Thanks so much.
Oh, please. we're going to do the 2000s.
New Zealand designer Karen Walker's pearl printed version of what dress was a big hit in the 2000s?
Pearl printed version of what? How many kinds of dresses can I name here? I'm going to go with a wrap dress.
Wrap dress is incorrect. Jeremy, can you steal?
Can you read it one more time?
New Zealand designer Karen Walker's pearl printed version of what dress was a big hit in the 2000s?
I'm go with another dress I can name. I have no idea. Say cocktail dress.
Can you be more specific?
Well, if it was pearl, it sounds like he'd want the white to stand out. So a black cocktail dress? I don't know.
Black cocktail dress is correct.
What?
That's,
you know,
okay.
What? Whatever.
Don't question it.
I don't feel good about that at all. I just named a dress.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Jeremy got the steal, and now Adam, you got to give him a category.
Let's go sports.
All right, sports for Jeremy, and it's the '60s.
When U.S. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, what sports organization decided to play games that Sunday? A choice Commissioner Pete Rozelle would later call the biggest mistake of his career.
It's weird. It sounds like something I should have heard of. So I'm just going to name, let's see. November is right around football season. So let's say football, NFL.
NFL is correct.
Never realized there was a weird decision that went in like, oh, should we play football or not?
It was a big deal because then after 9/11, that first Sunday, the NFL did cancel. And it was, there were a lot of comparisons made, and it was very controversial, I remember, right after 9/11.
All right, Jeremy, what do you want to give to Adam?
Go ahead and do slang.
Okay. Slang from the 2000s.
According to UrbanDictionary.com, this is another way to say cool and awesome, but stop trying to make it happen.
I assume this is fetch.
Fetch is correct.
I'm like, no idea until you said that clue.
Yeah, of course.
Well, it was pretty generic up until that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Adam, what are we throwing back to Jeremy?
Let's go literature.
Okay. So nice. And it is from the 80s.
In 1987, Stephen King released three novels, Misery, Tommyknockers, and the second book in what fantasy series subtitled The Drawing of the Three?
I mean, when it comes to Stephen King and series, I feel like that has to be Dark Tower series. Do you need the name of the... Oh, you already said the name of the book, right? So I guess The Dark Tower?
The Dark Tower is correct. All right.
Jeremy keeps getting, like, fantasy stuff, and like that's right up his alley.
Yeah.
Fantasy and sci-fi.
I just realized your shirt over there, by the way.
Oh, my Zollard's Guard shirt? Yeah.
I've got the whole series sitting right next to me on the shelf that I've read multiple times. So
I just finished my every 2 years or so reread.
Yep.
And people keep getting, I have like four or five. I have a Polka Will Never Die shirt and, you know, a couple donut ones as well.
Oh, we'll have to talk at some point. Oh, yeah, the sprinkles.
Yes.
All right, you nerds.
Frosting of white. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's Dresden Files. Sorry, yes. I guess we're like leaving the
I have no idea.
Which, oddly enough, I just restarted the audiobook series.
Oh, it's so good with, why am I blanking?
Marsters. James Marsters.
Yeah, James Marsters.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, is that Spike?
Yeah.
That's how I know him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Spike. He is Harry Dresden in my eyes. Always will be.
I now I have no idea where we are.
Jeremy's picking for Adam, I think.
Sorry.
I could talk about Dresden Files all day.
I agree. It's a great series.
Me too.
All right, let's since you're wearing the Zalord's guards, go food.
Okay. And it's the 50s.
Invented at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the 50s. What cocktail was invented as an ice cream drink and is made from heavy cream, creme de cacao, and creme de noyau, an almond-flavored liqueur? It'll make you colorfully skittish.
Can you repeat that, please?
Sure. Invented at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the 50s, in the 1950s. What cocktail was invented as an ice cream drink and is made from heavy cream, creme de cacao, and creme de noyau, an almond-flavored liqueur? It'll make you colorfully skittish.
Sounds like it's almost a White Russian, but not. But with something else. Ice cream drink. I'm going to say White Russian because I don't have anything better.
White Russian is incorrect. Jeremy, can you steal?
I have no idea what this could be. Like, and even mix, even those liquors going together, like, yeah, my mind goes like White Russian or something along those lines. Let's say a colorfully skittish. Let's say a rainbow sugar high.
Rainbow sugar high is also incorrect. I'm often surprised at the number of regular drinkers who actually don't know a bunch of different cocktails. This is not a thing on y'all. I'm just saying. This is called a pink squirrel.
I have heard of that. I just didn't know.
Yeah. No, I've heard of it, but I couldn't have told you what was in it. It's one of those, like, you see it on the menu.
Right. I've probably seen it on a menu and looked at it like, and not ordered it.
Well, now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
It is half the battle.
Go, Joe.
I don't know. Where are we?
Adam's picking for Jerry.
There we go.
Let's go music.
Okay. And it's the 60s.
In their debut album, Led Zeppelin released what song that had actually been released by a singer named James Holmes the year before, though Zeppelin had changed some of the lyrics and vocal line. Apparently, Holmes had opened for the Yardbirds while Jimmy Page was still a member. Page must have been quite befuddled when Holmes contacted Zeppelin asking for credit.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what was on Led Zeppelin's debut album. I believe Stairway was on 4, so that's not going to be on their first one. I think Dazed and Confused is on that one. I don't know if it was a cover, so let's go Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused is correct.
Nice.
Oh, that's really, it is a cover. I just, I can think of Good Times, Bad Times, Dazed and Confused, and Whole Lot of Love, I think, was on that one. And that's it.
Wasn't Whole Lot of Love on 3?
Maybe it is. I could be
confused.
I think
it might. I'm getting confused with something else.
All right, Jeremy. Left, we've got movies, TV, toys and games, and news and politics.
News and politics.
Okay. And it's the 70s.
In 1978, Louise Brown became the first child to be born via what process?
Born via what process? The way it's phrased, like, I guess this isn't born, but I think this is right. In vitro fertilization is I'll go with that. IVF.
You're thinking too hard about it. IVF is correct.
You said born and not conceived. I was that's why I was overthinking it.
I can see the wording.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy. Or no.
Wait.
Adam's picking for Jeremy.
So what's left? Toys and games, movies, and TV, right?
Yep.
Correct.
Jeremy's going to save toys and games for himself no matter what I do, so I'll go toys and games now.
Just give it to him now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Jeremy's getting it from the 2000s.
In what 2004 horror board game published by Avalon Hill do players begin as allies exploring a haunted house filled with dangers, traps, items, and omens? Eventually, one player usually betrays the others and takes the side of the ghost monsters or other enemies while the remaining players collaborate to defeat them.
Could you read that one more time?
Sorry. That was very choppy. In what 2004 horror board game published by Avalon Hill do players all begin as allies exploring a haunted house filled with dangers, traps, items, and omens? Eventually, one player usually betrays the others and takes the side of the ghosts, monsters, or other enemies, while the remaining players collaborate to defeat them.
Oh, I know one of them, but I know that there was also a spinoff. I'm trying to remember which one was the one that came out. So I'm going to go with the original and hope it doesn't give too much away and say, I think it's Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Betrayal at House on the Hill is correct.
There's a Betrayal Legacy, and I wasn't sure if that came around later when like the Legacy games started becoming popular, or if it was like this was a really old game that they remade, and it was like one of the first Legacy games.
Jeremy, we got TV and movies.
TV.
All right, TV for Adam. And he's going to get the 2000s.
You're going back to the HBO well. What 2006 HBO drama stars Bill Paxton as the patriarch of a fundamentalist Mormon family in Utah that practices polygamy?
All right, I know what this is, and I just got to make sure I get the game, get the name right. I think it is Big Love.
Big Love is correct. All right, that leaves movies for Jeremy.
So it does, and that's going to come from the 70s.
Midnight Express was based on the real-life story of Billy Hayes, a college student who served time in and later escaped from a prison in what country?
Oh, I know the movie, but I don't remember the country, so I'm going to just guess Russia.
Russia is incorrect. Adam, can you steal?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Midnight Express was based on the real-life story of Billy Hayes, a college student who served time in and later escaped from a prison in what country?
Don't know this. I would guess Australia.
Australia is also incorrect. Billy, have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Turkey is the correct
answer. Actually, a Turkish prison.
Yes. All right, that is the end of round two. Adam, what is our score going into the final round?
All right, well, his lack of Turkish prison knowledge means that Jeremy Goodson will not have a chance to potentially join the 200 Club, but he has got 90, and Adam's not terribly far behind with 60, so anything could happen in our final round.
All right, Jeremy, since you were in the lead, you are going to get to pick the category first that goes into the final round. Which one would you like?
Oh, let's go with Old Faithful, Toys and Games.
Sure. And it's going to be the 60s.
All right.
Let's go with sports.
Okay. And that will be, make sure we have, yep, that will be the 90s.
All right. So based on 60s toys and games and 90s sports, I would like you to send your bids to Adam, please.
Yes. I will take your bids. Make sure there's no tomfoolery. We keep a tight ship here on the Throwback Trivia Takedown tournament.
And what were the scores?
You have 90, Adam has 60.
Okay.
All right, the wagers are in.
All right, here is your 60s toys and games question. Marketed to girls 6 to 14 years of age, in what 1965 board game is the object of the game to acquire a desirable companion while avoiding the dud? It has been reissued in 1970, 1999, and 2005, and is popularly referenced as a trope in TV and film. And your 90s sports question. One of the most memorable images in sports history is of who? Crouched on the soccer field, shirt in hand, in celebration after winning the penalty kick in the 1999 Women's World Cup.
While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I want everyone out there to go check out our friends to the north, Tim and Dean, on their show Talking Back. They go over some amazing, everything from comics to TV shows to movies to music. They talk it all, and they have done so many episodes, so many great stuff. We've been on their show before. Go check them out. Talking Back, wonderful show. I promise you will like it.
I'm ready. I'm locked in.
All right. I'm locked in as well.
All right. Well, let's find out what you put. Adam, since you were behind, what were your answers to the questions?
For the toys and games, I hope this is the, I know, I remember the game. I hope I've got the right name with the right game. I think it is Mystery Date. And for the sports, that famous Sports Illustrated cover is Brandy Chastain.
All right. And Jeremy?
Well, for the 60s toys and games, I had Mystery Date. That one, that was the one game I could think of. I could not remember her name for the soccer thing. And I was going with somebody who I knew was in soccer. And I'm like, I think she's a little bit older than that. And it was the wrong time. And I went Mia Hamm because I could not remember. And I'm 99% sure you're correct that it was Chastain now that you say it.
Yeah, Mia Hamm was also on that team, though. That you had the error correct.
All right, let's find out the answers. The 1965 board game was indeed Mystery Date. And the soccer player crouched on the field was indeed Brandi Chastain.
Whoa.
So Adam got his questions correct. Unfortunately, Jeremy did not. So we definitely have some drama here. Adam, let us know.
Yeah. Go big. So.
Oh, sorry. Do you want us? I'm sorry. Which Adam? Do you want us to say our own wagers?
Sorry.
He met this Adam.
Sorry about that.
All right. No, okay. You didn't know. And that's how we typically do it. All right. So Adam went all in, of course. You got to go big, you got to home if you're playing, especially if you are playing the number one champion, the former champion, because Jeremy did bet to cover. And he's going down to 59 points. And Adam Wendell is the bracket buster, taking down our former champion. 16 seed upsetting a one seed. Granted, that doesn't really matter in this show because they're all tough questions and tough opponents. Adam Wendell is going to go on in our tournament for the 2022 TTT Championship.
2024.
Wow. Whatever, 2024. I'm throwing around, man. This is wild.
Nobody writes checks anymore, so it's harder to remember what year it is.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right. Wow. Adam, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm shocked. I had very, very little expectations going into this, going up against a legend here.
So,
congratulations.
Adam, we will hear from you later. So, Jeremy, this is your time to, say whatever you want.
We love you, man.
Screw this. No, just kidding. No, it was a lot of fun. Adam, seriously, congratulations. If I'm allowed to get on the bracket, I think I know where I'm going to throw my,
it's too late to put in.
Jam. All right. Well, I guess I'll have to play in next time. I don't get the little safe seat this time, but no, congratulations. You should, you got my, I'm rooting for you.
Thank you so much.
As for me, check out the PTE Network. That's going to be my big plug. I am a regular host on Pub Trivia Experience. I do some stuff with Boozy. Been on Frenemy, Verboten. We've got draft days now. I feel like I'm missing one of our own shows, and I'm going to get kicked about it later, but that's okay. Yeah, check out PTE Network. PTE.
Frenemy. You say Frenemy?
I said Frenemy. Yeah, I was on Frenemy.
Oh, okay. Boozy, PTE, Frenemy. Yeah,
yeah. All that. PTE Podcasts with an S.com for more info.
All right. Well, thank you again to Adam and Jeremy. That's Adam and I'm John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
We wrestled the demon Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
Your mother is in here, Karis. Would you like to leave a message? I'll see that she gets it.
We hooked the fisherman killer Ben Willis, and I know what you did last summer.
Oh, you got a letter? I got run over, Helen gets her hair chopped off, Julie gets a body in her trunk, and you get a letter. That's balanced.
We survived a summer away with the Angel of Death, Angela Baker, in sleepaway camp.
Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me,
But we ain't seen nothing yet. Join Alex and Dean of the Return Revenge Resurrection podcast as we go toe-to-toe with the ever-resourceful Michael Myers.
I shot him 6 times.
Be there as we discuss the Halloween franchise in its entirety, from John Carpenter's beloved 1978 classic through David Gordon Green's epic forthcoming finale.
I shot him in the heart.
We cover it all, the good, the bad, and the bloody. Return, Revenge, Resurrection, a podcast that slashes its way through horror movie franchises.
You don't know what death is.
New episodes every Thursday, available wherever podcasts are found.
I told everyone!